Welcome to the No Limit Selling Podcast, where industry leaders share their advice on how you can become better, stronger, faster. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the No Limit Selling Podcast. Today we're going to talk about rejection. Nope, don't hit the cancel button. Stay with us. We're going to give you some tools and tips how to overcome that fear of rejection. And before we start, let's do some introductions. I am Coach Umar. My reason for being is to help people break through their roadblocks so they become awesomer. And Monty, why don't you do an introduction? Then we'll go Andrew and Josh.
Sorry, I missed all of that because I was trying to get volume.
I said something about me being a genius, but please go on. Oh, don't feel intimidated.
Right. Okay. Don't worry. My name is Monty Burris. I'm the founder and owner of the Trust Realty Group. We are a small Keller Williams brokerage. I have 9 agents that work for me. We do about $100 million in revenue, sell about $100 million in properties a year.
Love it. Andrew, welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, glad to be here. My name is Andrew Ford. I'm a real estate broker here in Denver, Colorado, serving all the Denver metro area, specializing in both luxury leasing and sales. So first-time home buyers, investors, experienced sellers. I'm with Corcoran Perry. We can help handle all your needs.
Superb. Joshua, welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me here. So my name is Joshua Wall. I am a realtor here in Brantford, Ontario. I'm with The Crew Real Estate, which is a real estate group at Real Broker Ontario. And we primarily focus in residential real estate with an emphasis on commercial and land development and building properties. And for us, we have pretty much a mantra around our team where if you're going to be selling the community, you need to be doing everything you can to be building better community. If you can't make your community better, what business do you have selling it? So for us, you'll find us very active. In fact, we actually have a music festival, Crew Fest, our first year this year, 12,000 people coming, Our Lady Peace live. It's going to be pretty exciting, but it's interesting to see a real estate team doing a music festival. So that's something we can talk about another time. So
when is the festival?
July 29th here in Brantford.
All right, I'll be taking the spare bedroom in your house. I'll be coming to the festival.
You got it. Tickets on me. I'll fly you up from Denver, Andrew. And sorry, Monty, I missed where you were. But
I'm in Toronto.
Oh, well, yeah, come on down.
We'll give you a GoBus ticket. It'll be great. All right, everyone, let's start. So one of the human experiences that is so common is the fear of rejection. We'll do almost anything to avoid that. So why don't we get a good definition of what rejection is? So Joshua, what's rejection to you? How do you define it?
So, that's a great question right off the get-go. I think rejection for me is specifically related to sales is when I'm trying to make contact with somebody else and for whatever reason, they have no interest in making contact with me. So it could be fear of rejection. Going to a chamber event, trying to have a conversation and not getting a word in, or sitting down with your CRM, trying to make 30 or 40 calls to leads that have come in from various different ways and nobody's answering, getting hung up on, going door knocking for an open house and just nobody answering. I think I thought about this before I came on, but for me, there's two types of rejection. There's passive and active. And I'd love an opportunity later to unpack that.
Definitely. It just kind of reminded me, I was chatting with this gal called Brandy and she joined Aflac in the States. It's a supplemental insurance company. And she's sitting with the manager. She's does her first cold call and she gets the person to pick up. And the person says, "You effing idiots. God damn it. You're the fourth person that's called me this week. I keep on telling you, no. You're a effing. It's the most horrible call on the planet." And then she hangs up and her boss goes, "Congratulations. That is the worst cold call you'll ever make. Everything's going to go better from here." But yeah, that's the fear, right?
That's a direct case of active rejection right there.
Yeah. Andrew, well, how do you define rejection?
Well, rejection to me is... I guess it's kind of a blow to the ego, really. You know, you go out, you try hard, and you want things to happen, and sometimes they don't happen the way you want them to or envision them to. And as Joshua said, that can take a lot of different forms, whether it's you're going on a listing appointment that goes to somebody else, you try really hard, and you think you check all the boxes, but the result doesn't end up being what you envisioned it being. So it can take a lot of different forms, and it comes in a lot of different ways in our profession and a lot of different areas, not only in our profession, in the personal lives and in professional lives too.
Absolutely. Monty, rejection.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you can't go through life without rejection. It's just impossible. And I think that, you know, everything that you do from the time you take your first steps as a baby is filled with a whole series of rejections and then some sort of accomplishment. And so, you know, I mean, we should be ground to it by now. We should be used to it. You don't walk the first time you try to walk. So it starts at that kind of early age. But yet people have a fear of it. And you can't have success without rejection. It's just impossible. That's just the facts.
Absolutely. And you know, people try their best to make it better. Like there's this one, I guess, cliche phrase, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And it's like, no, well, whoever said that, we should dig them up and stab them again, because words can actually cut you to the quick. Words, like that famous speech from Mark Anthony, I'm not here to bury Caesar. I'm not here to, you know, what was it? What's the exact quote? I'm not here to praise Caesar. I'm here to bury him. But he used his words to basically turn the mob against these guys. So words have power. So how can we inoculate ourselves from rejection? It's easy to say, but hard to do. Why don't we just go around and just kind of give a tip each and see how far we get before we run out. Josh, why don't you kick us off? What's one technique to ease the pain of rejection?
I think it's like anything else. You need to understand it. So if you are going to take the time to reflect and try to unpack rejection, you have to find out why you were rejected. And rejection is rejection, period. You will be rejected if you are out there in the universe. But why? So if you're, let's just use cold calls. If you call somebody and they don't answer, that's rejection. But did they deliberately not answer because they saw your number on the phone, or were they busy? You know, if they're busy, that's something you just expect. You understand that you made a call, people are busy. You understand it, it shouldn't, and I don't think it hurts as much knowing that I called somebody who was busy and they didn't answer.
Next, absolutely.
I call them and they answer, and my value proposition is just whack. They're not interested, and they tell me they're not interested, and they end the call. Now, that's a lot. That's a whole podcast right there on how to add value to your phone calls or to your inquiries to ensure, you know, that you have a higher success rate and that you're not being rejected. But if you were to sit with your coach or you were to sit with your team and to analyze that call, you know, you got rejected for a reason. You didn't have anything that interested them. And then I would say there's constructive rejection. So if I were to call and I've got somebody who's just the most friendly person you've ever called, and I still can't get it across the finish line, I still aren't able to, you know, show what my value add to why they would want to engage with me, you can unpack that and you can get better and you can improve. Rejection doesn't have to be a negative. Rejection should be something that you use to grow. Every time you're rejected, especially for somebody who, you know, you had no reason, it was entirely your fault. It wasn't passive. It wasn't anger. It wasn't. So to me, it's just a matter of using rejection as a tool. And I think that's what helps me. I'm no stranger to capturing attention when I go out in public. Not all of it is positive attention, especially, you know, being involved in sales of real estate in a really contentious market where we have an inventory crisis, not enough building, not enough development, high rates, high interest rates. Realtors are no strangers to criticism, and criticism can often be blurred with rejection.
Cool. You weren't kidding about it. You could talk 40 minutes on the podcast. Andrew, a tip on how one can inoculate ourselves from rejection or overcome it really quickly.
Well, I just think it has to go with framing our relationship to rejection. You know, Monty hit on something of without rejection, there is no growth. I think it's, you know, it's natural to try to run away from it. I think changing our relationship with rejection and facing it head on and acceptance of rejection as a path towards growth and achievement and success you know, what's that saying? A ship isn't made to sit in the harbor. It's meant to go out into the waves. And, you know, going out into the waves, that involves some choppy waters and some rejections. Look, I feel it. I've been rejected more than I can count. Everyone feels the same way. It's not a good feeling. But what they found is just changing your relationship with that and viewing it as an obstacle, viewing it as a challenge is something that helps you get to the finish line. You know, without struggle, there is no reward. Everything's a risk and reward. And rejection is one of the risks that you get to your reward with.
Excellent. Thank you, Andrew. Monty.
Well, I just think that, you know, again, how you frame it, I think that was really, really well said. You know, if you look at this is a numbers game, all right? And if you're going to say that, you know, one of every 50, right? Every time you get rejected, you got to say, hey, the odds are now getting better for me the next time I knock on that door or the next call I make, right? Because now it's a 1 in 49. And then the next time it's a 1 in 48. So it's, again, how you frame things.
Absolutely, Sam. What I hear you guys saying is pretty much rejection is a tool. A rejection is a result of the meaning we make out of it. So one of the things that came up as you guys were talking, this is not about rejection, but it's about being smart, is when I used to live in Canada about 30 years ago, there was this one dude who was going to row from one of the eastern provinces like Nova Scotia all the way to England. And he basically started rowing out. When he got out into the open sea, he turned around and came back and said, holy shit, I'm not going to do this. And he had basically used a rowing machine at home to prepare himself. And that was just something that came up, but you got to be smart about it. But talking about rejection, I think one of the things that we need to do is there's a reason we have 8 billion people on this planet. It's really hard to see ourselves, but it's really easy to see other people around us. And so when you come across someone that rejects you, that invokes an emotion within you. And it could be fear, anger, disgust, disappointment, discouragement. Wherever you feel that in your body, one notice where you feel it in your body. Two, just put your hand on that spot where you feel it. And as soon as you do that, all you need to do is say the magic word hello to the feeling, and it'll say hello back. And then just ask it, what are you trying to teach me? And it'll give you some insight that's more at a primary human level. And once you make peace with that, that same rejection will not have the same impact on you. It'll make you inoculize you. So we've got 4 tips on how to handle rejection. Joshua, here comes the heavy lifting. What's tip number 5?
You don't know what you don't know. And you will not always have an opportunity to find out why you were rejected. And sometimes you just have to accept that and understand it's okay to have feelings. It's okay to feel rejected and to simply just accept that you were rejected and move on.
Brilliant. Andrew?
You're not alone. I know sometimes during rejection, it feels like it's just you and it's only happening to you. And it's hard to kind of look outside of the walls, but you're not alone.
Love it. Monty.
Well, everybody knows about, you know, famous inventors and all their success stories, but they don't know about all the failures. And so as soon as you look into a guy like Thomas Edison or Tesla or any of these Westinghouse or any of these famous inventors, right? And you'll find thousands upon thousands of failures. And genius comes through trial and error. That's basically.
Brilliant. Just piggybacking off what Joshua said, you got rejected. I'm on the phone talking to someone. It's like, you know, hey, man, we don't need this right now. Thanks for calling. And just saying, hey, Joshua, I totally get that. We are not going to do business together. But just before I hang up, what about this wasn't right? So it can help me be better for the next time I do this. And you'll be surprised how many people will take the time to say, okay, either this is going on for me or you didn't actually have enough value for me. how could I have done that better? And you get some insight. So just by asking, you get the answers you want. So I would say maybe 3 out of 5 people are going to give you an answer on why they figured this was a bad idea. And that's just part of the learning process to get better as you move forward. All right, Joshua, back to you again.
So it's a process of trial and error. So if I show up at the gym and I try to lift the heaviest weight that's there at the gym, I could go every day and try to lift that heavy weight. And the likelihood of me being able to lift it ever is not going to improve. But if I go and I start with the little weights, I work my way up to the big weight, the next thing you know, you just got it done. I think for me, and I thought about this a lot before the podcast today, Coach, it really is a matter of you're not good at something until you get better at it. And if you're going out and you are constantly being rejected in your sales, you got to look back and say, is it me? What could I have done different? What could I have changed? But if you're facing, I don't know, ordinary is not maybe the right word, but if you're facing an ordinary amount of rejection, you have to realize that's just a part of sales. That is just a part of life. You are not going to mix and mingle with everybody. So I think what I said at the very beginning, I stand by that. If you take the time to understand the rejection, is it me or is it them? If it's them, there are things that are outside of our control. If it's you, that is entirely within your control.
Absolutely. Andrew.
I would say even we're kind of talking about a lot of looking externally, but even look back, look past at your past successes and kind of look at, oh, you know, that was a really big win for me, and kind of looking at how you got there. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you'll see the path that, and all the obstacles that you stumbled over to get there, and using that to translate forward. I think looking internally and kind of, I think we're harking on a lot of the same themes here. I'm trying to make it a little bit different rather than looking at, you know, other inventors, yeah, other people's failures, but looking at your own successes and the path that you lead to get there.
All right. This is the last round, Monty. So you only have to think of this one.
No problem. So does anybody know the story about Picasso, who was sitting having a coffee at a coffee shop, and he started doodling on the napkin, and he scrunched it up into a ball, whatever he was doodling. And a woman comes over and asks if she could have that drawing that he wrote. And he said, yeah, absolutely. It's $7,000. And she said, $7,000? That took you 5 minutes on a cocktail napkin. And he says, no, that took me 52 years of my life.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, everything that you do, all the successes, all the failures, all the triumphs, everything goes into making you what you are today. And you learn just as much from the failures, in fact, more likely than you do from your successes. But those are all building up to make who you are as you are today. And that's the thing you have to remember.
Thank you. In a minute, I'm going to ask you a question, Josh, and around this will be the last thing that we do is think of a time you were rejected and what you learned from it and how you're a better person today from it. So each of you can think about that as I give my last set of tips on how to handle rejection. Number one is record all your calls if you're doing it on the phone. And that way you can play it back and get a sense of what's going on. That way you can go to somebody smarter than you who's got more experience and go, oh, this is where you went wrong. When the person said this, you interpreted it incorrectly, and they can give you feedback that's going to be more useful. To get the extra bonus point, go to ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm doing these calls. What's an email I can send beforehand that will allow me to have better conversations on the phone when I get them there? And you'll get some advice on this is the email to send out that'll soften that market up. So before I start us down the last round of this, which is a time you were rejected and what you learned from it and how it made you a better person, Joshua, what comes up?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share this, and I'll try to summarize it as best I can. But I spent almost my entire life trying to fit in and to try to be like everybody else. And it was like putting a square peg in a round hole. I never understood why it didn't make sense. And I had something happen in my life. And when it happened, I realized I am going to be unapologetically me, authentically me. And my life changed. Things just seemed to be easier. I was able to fit in much better. But along with that came a really big personality and really big hair. And I remember being told by many people I respected and many people that I trusted that you will never succeed with hair like that. And it's funny because there was this culture shift happening at the time where everyone was being accepted for who they are and what they were. And this was so counter to that. What do you mean? You know, so I have to be like everybody else, but I have to be different at the same time. And I remember saying to myself, I did this. I did this before. I spent my entire life trying to fit in. I am no longer going to try to be like everyone else, and I'm going to be unapologetically me. And since then, I believe that I have created an incredible career, and I have done very well, and I'm still only getting started. But the lesson that I learned is, yes, you have to listen to people, but you have to listen to the right people. And people who are trying to tell you what to do or are telling you to be like something else or are trying to control you are perhaps not the people who have your best interests out. It's those that give you true, real, constructive criticism and embrace you for who you are with the differences of who you are. So
nice. Thank you for sharing that. Andrew.
Yes. Thank you so much, Josh, for sharing that. And as a side note, I very much admire your hair.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. A story of rejection. I think this goes back when I was younger. I was working in Breckenridge as a photographer, and as a company, it got absorbed into a larger company. And I spent 2 years as the assistant manager. Worked my butt off, made all the right inroads. There's an opening for a manager position at another resort. It was a place that I really wanted to be. At the time, this was what I thought I wanted to do. I did everything. I made all the calls. I went on the interviews. I knew the person that was hiring, and I thought I was in a lock for this job. I was already making plans and looking at housing at the new resort. Long story short, I didn't get the job. They hired my colleague who I was working there for less time. I thought I was well qualified for it. And at the time that really hit me hard. I took it as a big failure because these were people that knew me. I feel like they knew the authentic me and the quality of my work. And I was passed up for that job. I was devastated. I didn't know what to do. I left the job at the resort, and then I got my real estate license. And now here I am 13 years later with a career I love. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy making my own free time. I enjoy my freedom. And I think without that failure or that rejection, I don't think I ever would have been able to get on the path to where I am now, to where I found something even better and more fulfilling than what I thought I wanted.
Nice. Monty.
Well, mine's a very similar story. I just think that, and so I'm not sure I can really add much to what Andrew said, because it was very well said, as well as Joshua. But so it's a very, very similar story. Again, job opportunity that I thought was going to make me and define me. and when that door closed, guess what? Another one opened. And had I, you know, had that door not closed, you know, I wouldn't have seen the other door. And so very, very similar. You just have to remember that usually things happen for a reason. And you have to kind of put a little bit of faith in that, no matter what you believe. You just got to put a faith that this was what make me stronger. And for every door that closes, another one opens.
Brilliant. And for me, I saw this amazingly gorgeous person in my life that had to be mine, and I got rejected. And just going up to that person, I knew that I was gonna die if this didn't happen, and I didn't die. And it was just like, wait a minute, this was supposed to be a mortal wound. And did it hurt? Absolutely. And I think at the end of the day, if you are living a life where you are making a difference in the world, that certainly gives you inoculation if you're of service. Number two, one of the things that Joshua said was being your authentic self. When you pretend to be something else, life's a lot more tougher. And number three, just trying to make someone's day better each day. And that's one of the reasons I do the podcast, is out of all the advice that we gave today, there's going to be someone that's going to go, oh my God, I've never heard that before. And they're going to take that advice and use it and improve what they do.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. So Joshua, I didn't start with Monty. As we wind down, what other topics should we be covering? Because this one, the reason I loved this topic is that we gave about 20 pieces of advice, how to handle rejection. So it's lots of actionable stuff. What other areas should we be exploring on these podcasts that would add value to agents and beyond?
Well, okay, I'll jump right in here. This is a topic that no matter how many times you've covered it, I don't think ever really gets old. We're in the relationship business. Mm-hmm. I'm not in the transaction business. I'm in the relationship business, all right? And, you know, when I do a sale, my relationship doesn't end, but I also know that that group of people are not going to do another sale with me for probably 7 or 8 years, right? So we are always having to restock our inventory and meet new people, develop new relationships. So what are you doing out there to develop new relationships? I know there's door knocking. I know there's cold calling, and that, absolutely, those have been beaten to death. But what else? Because those are not the only way you develop relationships. And I'll bet you there's a lot of people out there, a lot of realtors out there who are really, really creative, can come up with really creative ideas for how they network, how they meet people, how they open new doors.
Brilliant. Andrew, any ideas for topics we should be covering?
Yeah, I think maybe the flip side of the coin is how to deal with success. You know, we're talking about rejection, but there's also another other side of the coin of dealing with success, how to grow on it. One of my favorite books that I've read is How the Mighty Fall. It's an author, I think it was back in the 90s, that wrote a book on how big companies that and end up being these giant behemoths, and it doesn't seem like they can fail, and then they go under, and it kind of goes over some of the issues that they face of dealing with their success. And at the same time, maybe something for me that a lot of people share is, it sounds funny, but the fear of success. I know a lot of people struggle with that, of saying, you know, am I good enough for this? Am I worthy of this success? And I think dealing with the success, both of learning from your growth and also, you know, accepting, you know, the fortunes that you may build, is something that might be covered in a topic.
I love that. Thank you. Joshua, last thoughts.
How do you follow up those two? But I will try. Andrew said something earlier, and it was so powerful, and I want him to say thank you for him sharing it. It was, you're not alone. But the fact of the matter is, I think many people are, and I think they don't know how to not be, because it's all they've known, maybe because of something like rejection. And a very, very powerful tool that I discovered, and really recently, if you look at my career, is the power of assembling your team, assembling a team of people to surround yourself with, who will support you, who will be there to motivate you, who bring something to you, and equally you bring something to them. We are but a sum of our parts, and who you surround yourself with is not only a reflection of who you are, but it can be a reflection of your net worth. It can be a reflection of what you bring to the table. And I think it's so important, like Andrew said, to remember you are not alone, and to really take stock of who you surround yourself with to ensure, and don't be afraid to, like a hockey team, to swap out players, to swap out members of that team as you grow and you go through your career. But I mean, I'm a member of a real estate team. So that's kind of my second family. But also who your lenders are, who your lawyers are, who your contractors are, you know, who your clients are, who your connections are. Sorry, I could go on about this forever, but I think there's a lot of power in remembering that you're not alone. You don't have to do everything yourself. There are people who are better at it than you. Find them and then try to bring some value to them as well.
Love it. Hey guys, thanks so much for being on the show. It was a place where I learned a lot of stuff myself. So thank you for that. Thank you for being open and vulnerable. Let me close out the show and then we'll chat for a few minutes and let you get back to doing real estate.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating. And if you're looking for more tools, go to my website at nolimitselling.com. I've got a free mind training course there that's going to teach you some insights from the world of neuro-linguistic programming, and that is the fastest way to get better results.